So hi guys, this is going to be the first of many small kind of mini podcasts. We're trying to make them bite-sized chunks where you can actually get in there and learn something quick, or more likely than not learn anything and just listen to us talk. Today we have Justin Miller from Virginia, Andrew Cox joining us from Brisbane, Australia, Thomas Karnick from, and he's actually the star of the show, from Slovakia, and then we have Jeremy Austin up there, all the way from beautiful Alaska. You can see he's got a bear. He's number one on the threat down there. So the topic for today is monitoring, kind of a brief overview of monitoring. And obviously, you guys, if you're listening to this, you understand that you should have monitoring. And we're going to deep dive a little bit more into NetXMS, which is Thompson's kind of miracle monitoring system that he keeps pushing like crack on everybody. But once you get a taste for the amount of automation and simplicity it can add to your life, I think you'll probably be on board as well. So, Thomas, why don't you kick us off and get rolling, brother?
Like Greg said, I guess we should talk a little bit about monitoring itself to start off. So, what or why even you should care about this topic, which I think is one of the more important ones. My personal opinion on this is monitoring is really amongst the most important things in your infrastructure, other than the infrastructure itself, of course. And there is a huge difference between just, you know, thinking or guessing that everything is okay in your infrastructure and actually knowing for a fact, being sure that everything is running as it should and that everything is okay for a fact. And just that difference is a huge factor in first of all, peace of mind for you and all your network administrators, right? Because if you know for sure that it's running fine, you know, it's just a much different mindset than just guessing and just hoping that it's fine.
Yeah.
And it really makes a difference also to how you approach your network as a whole and how you can be sure about your own network. And those are things that might not be or, you know, sound like things which are really important, but they really make a difference. And also it makes a huge difference to your customers' satisfactions and to how your customers see your network, right? There is a huge difference when you call a customer, and of course this is not for like all 1,000 of your customers, but if you have a really important big customer, there is a huge difference to how he sees you as a provider when you call him and tell him, we've identified the problem on your circuit, we are fixing it, it will be up in probably an hour. And there is a huge difference to how he perceives you when this is the case and when he just, you know, his internet doesn't work for 2 days and he has to call you that, you know, do something with it because it doesn't work. So it even monitoring, of course, can give you this different approach to customers as well and improve your customers' relationship. And I really think it stretches across all different topics and all different spectrum of things rather than just the technical issues. And so again, you really should have monitoring for more reasons that we can even discuss here. Yeah. I mean,
I think without monitoring, you're reactionary, right? With monitoring, you're trending. You can do long-term analysis. You can figure out when you need to upgrade circuits. And if something does go wrong, because it's going to go wrong, right? It gives you at least a direction to start moving towards quickly.
Oh yeah. That's definitely another thing. Like when things fail, it's usually not very easy to just guess why. You know, when you see that 20 customers are down, it could be any number of things that caused it. So things like root cause analysis and things like that, without monitoring and without proper monitoring that monitors everything, it's really, really hard to do things like this. And monitoring makes it really, or proper monitoring system makes it much, much easier. Event correlation, outage correlation, root cause analysis.
I was going to say, you mentioned they're having a proper monitoring system. A lot of people think that they have something like pingdom monitoring websites or a third-party service just pinging devices that are online, and they can tell if they've gone offline while I'm monitoring that for my clients. But as you've pointed out, it doesn't give you that that information you need to diagnose what the problem was, or why it was caused, and how to prevent it in the future. If you aren't proactively monitoring all the little bits of the network and seeing why are interfaces flapping, why are they changing states, why do I have errors on ports and things like that. They're the sort of things that those simple services don't keep any track of. And without that full picture of the network, you can't fix those complex issues.
Absolutely. And as a service provider, it's always your problem, right? The first thing somebody does when they have an issue is they call you and say, my internet's broke, what'd you do, right? And so from a business customer perspective, you want to have trending and analysis where you can give them graphs, say, this is what your interface looks like, and you've been maxed out your rate limit for the last, 15, 20 minutes. So
they love it if you can tell them that.
Oh, absolutely.
Can tell them exactly why they have a problem before they've even finished saying my internet's performing badly, like you can give them this information or even make it available to them. They're just like, cool, that's what I need to know. So
yeah, absolutely. But also we as technical people often have to relay our ideas and facts up to management. So Thomas, tell us, you went on this kind of this soul journey a little while back to find kind of the perfect network management system for you. So what were you using kind of before, and what led you to NetXMS?
So about 2.5 years ago, I pretty much tested all of the, I don't want to say all because obviously that's not true, but the most of the major NMS systems that are out there. And before we were mostly using Dude and at some installation even Nagios plus Cacti. And of course, Dude being abandoned for 4.5 years and having some issues, even with basic things like 64-bit SNMP counters and stuff like that. And then Nagios and Cacti being quite antiquated systems, which are missing a lot of modern, what you could consider modern features and really nice quality of life improvements. I went looking for a new system, and I went through, as I said, most of the major ones, and NetXMS came out as the really the most modular, most modern, most feature-rich, and most comfortable to work with.
Very cool. So how about you other guys? So I still use Cacti and a little bit of the Dude, and I've got this huge list of things I need to take care of, and NetXMS kind of a turn-up is sort of way down here at the bottom. So it's on my to-do list. And honestly, it wasn't on the list until I saw you demo it before, Thomas. But what are you guys using? Nothing?
Go, Jeremy.
Yeah. I'm still using Cacti as well. I've got a lot of custom graphs in there, going back a lot of years. It's been a fairly stable platform. For monitoring, it's really, I never really quite made the jump to the Nagios level of scripting. I'm still have... kind of some manual dependency scripts, that I built myself. And I've tested a lot of systems. I'm actually using some hosts. My customers, I'm really more of an MSP than kind of a traditional ISP, going back to what we were talking about earlier, where you really want to be proactive with your business customers. And so I haven't, I haven't been ignoring my residential customers. That's really not what I do. So I need something like NetXMS because, again, we've got a lot of age on Cacti, and there's some really cool stuff going on, like with Grafana, systems that can visualize data in a way that I'm not going to ever be able to do with Cacti. So,
excellent.
I'm using Observium, and we use the Dude for a convenient way to get into devices that are Microtech and, web devices and that kind of thing. Right click, open web page, your web page custom ports, that kind of stuff. It's very convenient for that, but we do not use it for any kind of actual monitoring other than, a simple service with ping gives it green or red. We don't do anything beyond that. That's where Observium comes in and has everything else. And then we have something called Alertra, which pings our properties from outside the internet.
Yeah, I use Site 24/7, which is, I'm sure, very similar. Yeah,
we were looking at jumping over to that because that's got an API and everything, and then so I can generate all the locations that we want to monitor from a script straight out of Observium, and I'll have to keep manually putting them in, that kind of thing. So
We've got a bit of a mix. Some of it's the in-house stuff that we're working on. So Bright Wi-Fi does some basic monitoring of bits and pieces, and we actually have a couple of health monitoring scripts that run out across all the routers and collect information that would be quite bandwidth intensive to collect via SNMP all the time. We also have some of the devices like Phone Home with little bits and pieces if CPU utilization is too high or interfaces are seeing too many errors and things. So we have that benefit with RouterOS where we're able to create some sort of triggers and things that hand back rather than having to poll devices. But underneath that, at the moment, we're still using the Dude day-to-day to get into devices and have those additional little tools there where we can say, yep, just right-click on this device, instantly SSH into it. That little tools option I find really useful.
So I guess that was kind of a good sort of overview on what everybody's looking for and their challenges. I really like Cacti's long-term trending, but I do believe Observion does long-term trending, doesn't it? As well as I think Nagios does, and NetXMS obviously does because it's magical. Otherwise, Thomas wouldn't use it. Through all the different systems you tried, how did you settle on NetXMS over the others?
See, that's one of the things that showed up even as you guys were talking is that you have multiple systems doing multiple things and you are doing many different things in many different ways, which I don't think is really good because, again, if you look at event correlation, at root cause analysis and at things like this, this becomes really complicated when you have many different sources of data and you have data over multiple systems and things like this. So tying that into your question, Greg, this is actually why I decided on NetXMS, because it does pretty much everything you want it to do inside of a single software, which gives you really, really good organic workflow, and keeping all that workflow within that one single piece of software can greatly increase your productivity. And it's just much easier when you only have one software to deal with, where, you know, from that one software, generate graphs, look at syslogs and historical logs of all your things. You can launch tools, you can launch your custom scripts, you can find IP addresses, you can generate and look at maps, you can even see VLANs on ports of your switches and stuff like that. It just saves a lot of time, and it's got all of these great features already built in that work out of the box. And as I said, it's the biggest feature set that out of any current NMS. It's the most modern, it's massively multi-platform, it's free, it's open source, and it has all kinds of APIs, and it's really amazing how much of a feature set it has. So that's why after testing all of the others, I settled on NetXMS, because it's the most powerful one, and it's free.
What about redundancy-wise, right? So I know we all have multiple systems, but that inherently, I guess, sort of adds a little backup to the system. How do you cope with that with NetXMS and just running a single platform?
Well, you know, that's like the difference between having one system which has a certain percentage chance to fail, and then having many small systems, which, of course, each one, you know, your overall percentage to fail is higher, but you lose a lesser chunk of the infrastructure. So it's like, for me, it doesn't matter if it's one big system with a smaller chance to fail or many, many systems with altogether a higher percent chance to fail. It's the same deal, basically. But NetXMS is really modular. So you can modularize different parts of it and dedicate different parts of the NetXMS ecosystem to different servers, different virtual machines, etc. And you can actually make it fully, highly available by scaling it horizontally. Because, you know, just dedicating different things to different VMs or different servers and having two out of each and you're done. What I wanted to also talk about is, in general, what should be monitored and how you should, again, approach all of the monitoring. I guess we can go into that, and then we can actually show everybody how NetXMS can deal with all of that. Just for completeness, obviously you need to monitor basic things like CPU, RAM usage, disk usage, and all of that. In traffic on all of the interfaces in bytes per second and packets per second. People usually forget about BPS, but it's also really important. Of course, health and environment things, temperatures, voltages, PSUs, fans, and stuff like this. And also what I find that many people don't do is collect SNMP traps. And SNMP traps can be really, really helpful. Same with Syslog. Collecting and centralizing all of your logging into a single platform can be great help. So if you're collecting Syslog and logs from all your routers or your switches or your servers and everything else into a single platform, again, event correlation and looking at things from the bigger picture is really, really made much easier for you. So if you are searching what a particular user has been doing across three services and across a single server, without having all that logging unified inside of a single platform, that becomes really a time-intensive task. Whereas if you do have it all centralized, then you just type a single search query for the user's username and you can see all of his accesses across your whole infrastructure. And it's a huge time saver and a huge simplifier.
All right. So what is Syslog? You talked about it, but what is it?
Syslog is basically a protocol how to transport logging messages over the network. So it's a standard which can allow you to have all the logs from all of your different kinds of devices and send them over the network to a centralized collector.
Right. So usually it's like a Linux device or a Linux-based router. Anything he can generate in his log, he can export out, right, to a Syslog collector. How about SNMP traps and kind of how do they differ from Syslog?
So SNMP, Syslog is everything on a device that's happening, right? It's user logs in, user logs out. If we are talking about Linux server, a cron job, so a scheduled jobs run, so, or you change something on a router, or you reconfigure a VLAN on a port or on a switch, that all generates a log, and that log gets transferred over Syslog. Whereas the difference with SNMP traps is that SNMP traps are usually high priority alerts. So for example, a fan has failed on a switch. So that failure of a fan would generate an SNMP trap, which would again be sent to your collector, and then your collector can immediately process that trap and notify you.
Yeah, so traps are generally like networking equipment, right? Like physical appliances, whereas Syslog
yes,
is usually
generally.
Server or Microtext, right? Microtext dump Syslog information out. So what are some of the things you guys match on with Syslog? Some of the things I do is like when a user logs in, if anybody logs in as root, I get an alert and it tells me their IP address and when they did it, all kinds of things like that. What do you guys, like what's maybe something people wouldn't expect or think about something you could match? Or for me, I'll also, whenever somebody logs into our VPN concentrator, if it's a specific user and I have them flagged, I'll get an alert from that user account. So sometimes we have to give VPN accounts to integrators, guys that work on the building automation system or something like that. And I want to know when those guys are logging in. If it's 3 a.m, I see these guys log in and then all of a sudden something unexpected happens in our environment, you know, right? I can do some correlations there because they shouldn't be in there without us knowing about it. So this gives us kind of an immediate heads up. What do you guys look for that maybe people wouldn't expect in Syslog?
So we log hotspot failed logins because we're in hotspot at the properties. And if we see someone failing to log in too many times in a row, we'll sometimes look up their account and go ahead and call them proactively. Like, hey, we see you're having problems logging in. Let me help you.
That's pretty brilliant.
That kind of thing. So that goes along the lines of what Thomas was saying earlier about being proactive and calling your customers and you know, it's a whole different ball game when you do that.
So. Yeah, absolutely. It's a tremendous use. I'm going to start doing that.
I've done much the same thing for like internet logins, telephone. Let's say somebody's voice over IP phone goes offline. You know, that's something you might think you could do with a trap as well. I've done that with Syslog. You know, somebody's messing around with their desk and they pull the plug out. I want to be able to, you know, call their cell phone and say, hey, I think you just unplugged your phone, you know.
So, yeah, with Syslog, we pretty much listen to... So Syslog has severity, right? Severity is the importance or the criticalness of a Syslog message. And this is not usually the thing with networking equipment, because they don't usually have severities set up correctly. But for example, for your servers, we actually listen to and parse an alert on any syslog severity that's error, or actually that's, I don't even remember from memory, it's a severity 3 or higher. And basically on Linux, anything that's, you know, bad enough or important enough for you to know already inside of the syslog message comes with a certain severity. And so you can really easily just say, okay, severity, anything that's a warning or more severe, already alert me to all of that. So it's really easy to create like active server Linux monitoring just with a single syslog rule, and you will catch a lot of like invalid root login and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and cool. For networking equipment, of course, any kind of a, like if a BGP peer drops or an OSPF peer resets and or wrong OSPF authentication, stuff like that, you know, it's, all of that should be parsed, and you should know that stuff like this is happening.
Mm-hmm. Isn't syslog in the clear?
Yeah, usually there is no sensitive info in syslog. So.
Well, there can be if you're doing hotspot, depending on how much you're logging and what kind of authentication you use. Some of that information can be in the clear. For your end users.
If you are logging into syslog everything and you configure like every single IPsec packet to be logged, then that might be a bad idea.
Yeah.
So you're talking about methods to log stuff, right? So syslog, SNMP traps, and obviously SNMP is going to be kind of the mother of logging methods, right? And so give us a quick 5-second rundown on what just regular old SNMP is.
Basically, it's just a standardized way to request information from a device. So you fire an information request, and the device responds with that information which you requested.
Very cool. So there's SNMP version 2C, right, that just uses a community string, which is aka a password, and all that stuff's clear text. I'm guessing you're a much more secure version 3 kind of guy?
Of course. Everything should be running SNMP version 3.
Excellent. And so version 3 adds encryption, right? And
It adds multiple things. So it adds authentication, so hashing, and encryption. And you can actually choose which one to use, if you want to use just hashing, authentication, or if you want to use encryption, etc. So yes, of course, you don't want to just have it, you know, whoever sends you whatever SNMP message, since it's UDP, so it can be easily spoofed. You don't just want to basic security. So version 3 should be used everywhere.
Absolutely. So what kind of devices beyond that? So we talked about some of your servers, some of your network stuff. What kind of devices do you monitor? And maybe some stuff that's interesting that most people wouldn't think to monitor.
One thing which is really useful is we have these little 20 euro, so like $25 boxes, which give you analog and digital inputs. And we actually use those to monitor electricity. So, you know, the main utility lines, if there is power on those. Like other towers actually have a box, you know, on the bottom of the tower that has this little $25 box that monitors the battery level, the temperature inside and outside the box, you know, the utility lines if it has power, and it can reset. So it's like, you know, you just switch the power that's going to the actual box on and off remotely. I think, you know, most of the guys will know what I'm talking about here. And we control all that over SNMP, right? With, you know, just two clicks within that XMS.
Very nice. Yeah, so that goes to SNMP. It's not just an information gathering. You can actually do writes via an SNMP as well, so you can make changes on devices.
Something that's pretty common in the IT workforce is to monitor the printers, toner level. When the toner level gets too low, then you can get an alert and go change out the toner.
Yeah, we have all kinds of stuff. So via SNMP, I'm monitoring crack units, you know, air conditioning units. I'm monitoring large UPSs, desktop UPSs. I've even got generators inside of our infrastructure, so I can see when they ran, how long they ran, and then I've even got 5 to 20 milliamp sensor on there, so I can tell you how much fuel, via a big stick we stuck in the tank, how much fuel is actually in the tank, so you can monitor burn rates and when you need to refuel, kind of alerts on all that stuff. Obviously building temperatures. So we have some old buildings that are 70 years old And we have temperature probes kind of all over the place because the air conditioning's not always, you know, as sound as it should be. So we can get heads up, you know, when something's not right. So it's, I mean, it goes way beyond just routers and switches.
So a lot of the systems like Cacti and Observium and some of the other ones, they're RRD tool based. What is NetXMS based on?
So NetXMS is based on Draw 2, which is a Java graphing framework, since the NetXMS whole front end of NetXMS is Java based. So it's not RRD, so that's a good thing that it's not RRD.
So it's probably got more accuracy over long terms.
Yeah,
does it store more values? Does it
yes, so
the database
every single value, yes.
Yeah. That'd be good for 95th percentile generation and that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, it's much more precise over short value, short intervals and log intervals, and you can do much more analytics and much more data digging since you have all the data available.
Cool.
How does it do for sparsifying historical data? For example, with a SCADA system, you would typically set, you know, the resolution that you want a particular data point or set of data points to have in time. One of the advantages of RRD tool, for those who haven't used it before, is that it stores a fixed amount of data so that you know that you're not going to run out of disk space when you're collecting 30,000 sensors. What are the tools that we have in NetXMS that would let us, say, manage the data load? If we're bringing on, thousands of data points every minute, what do we do when we start running out of space?
So this is actually a discussion which is quite complex, because an advantage of that approach is that, yes, you store less data, but the disadvantage is that when you actually want data accuracy, you can't have it because the data is simply not there. So the approach of NetXMS is kind of different, because NetXMS keeps everything. And considering how little today's storage costs, I personally don't think that's really a bad thing, because why throw away data when you can get terabytes of data for extremely cheap today? So NetXMS actually stores everything. There is no way currently to have like data sparsity settings or how to expire, you know, only keep 5-minute averages after 1 month and only keep, 1 day averages after 1 year. There is currently no way to do this. But again, I personally consider that a good thing rather than a bad thing. Because
is there no housekeeping?
Oh, yes, of course, there is housekeeping. You have data retention, and you can configure, data retention per every single object, and you can configure data collection intervals and stuff like that, of course.
You could end up with millions and millions and millions of syslog entries and then run out of space pretty quick.
Would sound like you'd be reinventing Splunk, for example, which is a system that is designed for handling millions of log entries.
Well, again, Splunk is a different thing for a different purpose, right? Because Splunk is specifically tailored to keeping large amounts of text data, whether it be syslog or something else, or analytics, or software running logs and etc. So again, Splunk is a specialized tool for a certain thing, whereas NetXMS is a different framework for keeping all your monitoring and management within it. So it's kind of a built for different purpose, Splunk and NetXMS.
Sure. Yeah, in addition to the space, I'm thinking really more from the perspective of performance. You know, are we going to be able to generate a year graph, quickly? Do we have auto summarization? That's one, again, I'm contrasting it with RRD tool here. I'm not
of course.
About
how it works is actually I can show you inside of the demo. You can get a 1 year graph pretty much in 10 seconds, and that is completely live. And as soon as you get it the first time, it's actually cached by the server. So when you get it the second time, it's instantaneous. And NetXMS is, as I mentioned, very modularized. So it's up to your database layer to solve these things. Again, NetXMS doesn't try to solve things which a database layer should solve. In proper software architecture and in proper separation of concerns concept, the database itself should take care of the performance, should take care of the data storage and things related to that, even high availability. Again, you could ask any DBA database administrator about how to keep a database highly available, and he will tell you, you know, five different ways to do that. So NetXMS doesn't try to go into that territory because that's the territory of that particular component of the database component.
So NetXMS is entirely open source, right?
Yes, it's completely open source. The backend is C++, so the server and everything related. The frontend is Java, which gives you great advantages of Java, which means it runs on every single platform that runs Java, which is pretty much everything nowadays. And one great benefit is that the frontend is fully unified between the dedicated client and the web client. Because the web client, you just deployed it into Tomcat or any other Java application server, and it's completely the same thing. So whether you are running a dedicated client on Windows, Linux, Mac, Raspberry Pi, or you are running it within the web browser, it's the completely same experience, completely unified. All the features are available everywhere, and that's one of the great advantages of NetXMS.
So when you deploy it in the web, can you view it with an iPad or an Android device? Or does it have to have Java in the browser to...
No. The browser part is JavaScript. So the Java code gets recompiled, and then to your frontend is actually sent just JavaScript. So you only need Java for the dedicated client. For the web client, you need a Java application server like Tomcat, but the actual web is JavaScript. And that again goes into which I mentioned, is the organic workflow and unification of your workflow processes and stuff like that. It's very nice when you can go to any device really that you want, be it hard client or web client, and you have the same familiar interface that's completely set up to your liking and how you are used to it, and you don't have to, you know, make any compromises really, because whichever way you are accessing NetXMS, it's always the same way because you always have that one interface.
And it does have like a Windows client, right? Like a Windows application.
Yes, of course.
And it's pretty snappy, pretty nice. I tested it just a little bit, and it was pretty cool.
Likewise, Mac version.
Okay, so this is how NetXMS looks like. This is the dedicated Windows client. So as I mentioned, if we were looking at this inside of a web browser, it would be completely the same, even down to the file, view, monitor, configuration menus. So it would be completely the same within a web browser. It might look kind of strange due to my DPI, because the laptop has a really high resolution screen with a, you know, increased DPI. So I don't know if you guys can... It should be fine for you, right?
Yeah, I'll convert it to 720p. It'll look all right.
So this is the basic screen, and I guess we can talk about a few things which we mentioned. So let's just look at our VPN concentrator here and how it looks like. So you can see really fast with just typing whatever I can get to whatever object, the speed of work and the workflow within NetXMS is really nice. So I want to get to our VPN access concentrator. It's just type in VPN, and here it comes. And actually, let's start with things like interfaces. So within NetXMS, NetXMS is fully topologically aware. So it actually learns every single of your devices, learns all of the interfaces, learns all of the routing tables, ARP tables, etc. So we can actually see we have multiple interfaces here. We can see the speed that they are running at. We can see some aliases, right, what they are. This is actually comments within RouterOS, MAC addresses, etc. And one of the first things which NetXMS monitors for you out of the box is interface expected state. So on any networking device, really, you definitely want to know when somebody unplugs a cable or if somebody plugs in a cable somewhere where it's not supposed to be, right? So it's really easy with just a couple of clicks within NetXMS. You can set an interface expected state, and NetXMS will notify you if an interface is not in a state where you want it to be. So that's like one of the most useful things with a couple of clicks you can have right there. And it actually, you know, it's very useful to be alerted as soon as somebody plugs something where it's not supposed to be. So basic things like this, and then we have the full actual monitoring, which we were talking about. So you can see I monitor CPU usage on my device, how many cores it has. So this is a 1100AHX2, so 2 cores, CPU usage on every single core, and then average CPU usage across the 2 cores.
That's phenomenal.
Then I mentioned...
on the MikroTiks, the individual cores is really important, right? Because the load average, you might have one that's maxed out and you would never actually know it, right?
Oh, yeah. Because if you have 2 cores and one is 100% and one is 0, the average will not show you something suspicious. You know, it's 50% utilization. That's still under the limits. But in reality, it's a bit different.
That's phenomenal.
So then you have the environmental things, right? So board temperature, power input, so 24 volts. One thing which I really find useful is that it can monitor firmware status. So inside of MikroTik, you have actually two things. You have the operating system, which is RouterOS, and then you have the firmware, which is like BIOS, which is called Router Boot. And with new releases of RouterOS come new releases of Router Boot. So this monitoring point actually monitors if the BIOS, so to say, on my board is the newest version as well. And it's just one of those useful things which are really easy to forget when you are upgrading a system, and this just notifies you if you haven't done your job properly. So then we can see that on these VPN access concentrators, there are currently 4 VPN clients connected. So RAM size, RAM usage, stuff like that, actual RouterOS version, which this router is running. And then just a bunch of, actually, we still have system partition usage, uptime. And then for every single interface that is in up state, so it's connected, we actually have bytes per second and packets per second on that interface. And this is another, like, one of the little useful things you can do in NetXMS. You can tell it to only generate monitoring points for interfaces which are actually connected. And as soon as you connect a new interface, you don't have to even touch NetXMS. It will start monitoring that interface by itself. So it's that kind of automation where it does things for you, and you don't have to remember to, I plugged in a new interface. I have to start monitoring it. It does it automatically.
That's cool.
So, and Thomas, that would... I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Drew.
That would reduce the SNMP load a little bit too, correct?
Yes, if you have like a 48-port switch, it's a huge difference if you are monitoring 48 ports or just 20, because only 20 are plugged in.
Great. So that would be an advantage over, you know, an older system like Cacti, which is just basically going to walk the whole tree every time.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right. So one other question I had was looking at this tremendous information. How much of this is custom modified on the template side versus it automatically out of the box does this?
So everything in NetXMS is based on templates. So actually all of this is from a template. There is a template market where you can get templates. So you just, you know, go to market, search for MikroTik, and then 2 clicks and boom, you have MikroTik monitoring downloaded and imported into your NetXMS.
Okay. How many of those are free on the market versus pay, or is there even a pay option?
There is no pay option. It's just all free.
That's really cool.
Do you have to get the MIBs and all that stuff when you do this?
No. So what MIBs are just informational pieces of data. So you don't have to even have any of the MIBs or anything.
It's like a dictionary or word lookup.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so when SNMP polls, it uses something called an OID. I think that's object identifier, maybe. Anyway, it's a dotted number. And it can get pretty hairy. I mean, I've seen some, you know, 20 spaces long. And so trying to sort all that out can be pretty difficult. So if there's already a lot of templates to work with, that makes it so much easier. Because that was one of the things when I was first looking at it, there were several things that you know, it didn't do right out of the box, and I was thinking, oh God, I got to learn a whole new a whole new system from scratch. But if you've got templates you can build from, I'm all about not reinventing the wheel and just kind of borrowing from somebody else.
So let's go a bit deeper into this. So for example, let's say we want to see CPU load on each core of this router for the last, I don't know, let's say month. So you can just double click a single collection point and bam, you have a graph. Or you can just, you know, select multiple and do whatever kind of a graphs you want with with a few clicks of a button. And let's, for example, do this for the last, let's say, week. So you can see this takes about 2 or 3 seconds. And you can see some spikes here to 100%, and that's actually a bug in RouterOS, which is, to be fair, it's fixed in 6.36. So you have a bunch of things here which you can... I won't go over every single option, but you can do some nice things with...
Can you pick a specific point in time and zoom in on just that?
Oh, yeah. You can just drag and, you know, just boom, and there you have that specific point in time.
Very nice.
So then you can center it around the screen. You can actually save the graph with one click as a JPEG and copy the data into a table, export into CSV and all that kinds of stuff. But I won't go into that. For the graphs, one thing which can be really useful, actually, if I go to our... let's see, I should have a predefined graph for this already. Let's see if one of these will work. No, this one doesn't. I think it's this one. Yes. So one of the very useful things, for example, is this might seem scary, but I'll explain. What this graph actually shows is the amount of bandwidth used by our upstream interfaces and the ping to Google. So this graph is meant to compare how bandwidth utilization on our upstream interfaces influences ping to Google. And you can see that this is actually a logarithmic graph because obviously it's millions of bytes per second, but ping is only, you know, 10 or 20 milliseconds. And this graph actually takes about 20 clicks to create from scratch. So you can really easily and fast see, you know, compare influences across different kinds of metrics and different things. So you can see I can zoom in here and we can see that there's been about 10 megabits on this upstream, right? And the ping, there are some jumps in the ping up to even 100 milliseconds. So that means that probably the upstream provider is having some issues, right?
So what caused you to create this graph? Was it curiosity or did you guys actually have a little latency
Yeah, this was exactly a response to an issue we had. Because, like, you can see, for example, here, that here, if I zoom in on this one part of the graph, you can see here that ping actually went up to about 1,000 here, right? So why this can happen is because the interface is oversaturated, right? Or your upstream provider is having some issues. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to figure out how actually the traffic on our interfaces influences those spikes in latency that we saw across our network. And yes, we figure out that it's an issue of this particular upstream provider.
That's interesting. So I'm employing a forward-looking system. And I've actually got policy-based routing that if it's coming from, say, .1 address, it'll go out ISP1. And if it's sourced from .2 address, it goes out ISP2. So I guess you could probably do something similar. So you could actually get kind of a real view out of each ISP, kind of his view of what all the latency. That would be pretty cool, too.
And actually, we didn't time it, but this is 8 data points collected every 10 seconds for 1 week. So this is quite a bit of data, and you can see the graph is really snappy.
That was really quick.
So things like this is just graphing of all the collected information and then the correlation of that information within a graph to give you some kind of a, you know, insight, whatever you are really looking for. So that's like really fast collection. And then another thing which we mentioned is syslog. So if I want to see what's been happening on this router, I just right-click the router and go to syslog. And right here, you can see that it took, again, probably 2 or 3 seconds to load all of the syslog on this router. And we have millions and millions of lines of syslog in the database. So you can see that really easy with just a couple of clicks, you can get really powerful information. And then you have really easy filters. So what I can do is just search inside of the message. So I just do text. And I do, for example, me, right? And there we go. Press play. And suddenly I have all my activity on this particular router that I've done in, well, in forever, since the vCollect syslog for 2 years. This is why it's taking so long, because it's now searching, you know, basically doing a regular expression search across 2 years for a single device in a database of millions of records. But if I wanted to see this information, there it loaded. So it took about 10 seconds.
Yeah, that wasn't bad at all.
And then you can see everything that I've been doing. And then if I want to correlate this across multiple systems, I could simply add another system here, another node, and I could, you know, see correlated data or my user activity across multiple systems with just a couple of clicks, which is, again, quite helpful if you are doing any kind of auditing or searching for an issue.
That's too cool.
Thomas, can you save this filter? You know, have a library of filters that you can quickly pull back up?
Actually, yes, you can do predefined filters, yeah. So you can create like conditions like this and all the stuff, and yeah.
Right. In case you had a particularly complicated one for some reason, you know.
Oh, yeah.
How about SNMP traps? Where do they get collected in the system?
So it's, again, just one click, right-click on the device and do SNMP trap log, and we see that we have a bunch of traps here for this MikroTik.
Very nice. So it's almost the same. The interface looks virtually identical to what the syslog, so it's
very
similar.
Again,
how do you interpret that? Because that looks like a bunch of gibberish numbers to me.
That's just how SNMP traps work, right? Because you receive a list of OIDs with certain values. And then, sadly, you have to know for every single vendor, because the implementation of SNMP traps is every single vendor just do whatever they want, really. So you have to have the vendor knowledge here, or just download the templates, which already have it pre-configured. So actually, one thing that I want to show you, which is, I think, really a huge time saver, is how I mentioned that NetXMS completely learns your topology and learns your infrastructure, really. So what I want to show you is, imagine that you know an IP address of a device, and you want to find out where it actually is connected in your network. And, of course, you might have some documentation which says it should be connected here, but it could have moved somewhere else without somebody documenting it, or, you know, just weird things happened in a network. So since NetXMS learns all of your network, you have a really handy find IP address box here. Wrong IP address again, 10.3.1.98. And it will tell you right away that this is work PC of my colleague. This IP address is connected to this switch on this port. So with just a couple of clicks, you can find the location of any IP address where it is physically connected in your network right now, whatever your documentation says, because it hasn't been updated properly. And this is a huge, huge time saver. This has like saved me from so many headaches. It's really handy.
Can you do the same thing with MAC addresses?
Yes. So I have a MAC address here somewhere saved. Here it is, that I've prepared to show you that, for example, in your logs, you see that the MAC address is trying to connect to your PPPoE access concentrator with the wrong username and password. And if you have a big network, for example, VPLS bridges into your PPPoE access concentrators and stuff like that, that IP address can be in a radius of a few miles even. It can be across hundreds of different devices. You don't know where the MAC address is coming from and trying to break in into your access concentrator. So I can actually put in a MAC address and press OK. And I will see that it's connected on this device over wireless and on this SSID. And this is just a random MAC address that I picked from our PPPoE access concentrator.
That's cool. That's crazy. So one other question I have is, does it store any historical information on these MAC addresses? Like you can see where they were over time or anything like that?
No, currently not.
It's just live. All right. That would be a ton of information. Live. I was just curious, you know, if say the MAC address all of a sudden showed up on a port you didn't want it to or didn't expect it, I wonder if it could kind of alert you on something like that.
Not really. At least not right now. Not yet.
I was just wondering how big brother the system actually got. That's tremendous, though. That is awesome.
But yeah, like live searches like this, it's saved me so much time.
Yeah.
When you are debugging a network and searching for where a malfunctioning devices physically connected, and you don't know anything about the network, or again, somebody has replugged it somewhere and you need to find it. Doing this manually would take ages.
Or like at an apartment complex, a user calls in and they're having problems, and you need to figure out which switch port they hang off of to just check, see if there's error or anything. It's just instant. You're there.
Yeah, and even if you have documentation, this is so much faster than digging through pages of documentation and searching for something.
Yeah, because through this interface, you're going to be looking at statistics information anyway. While you're here, you might as well just look them up.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned. It's the unification of workflow and the organic workflow. Just do everything within a single interface because it saves you so much time.
All right. So this actually does create like weather maps, right? Like real, you could see all the devices and the links together and things like that.
Oh, yeah. That was my next thing, which I was going to show. So as I'm saying for like the fifth time now, Nedixam has actually completely learned your infrastructure. And one of the big advantages of that is since it already knows all of your infrastructure, it can generate automatic up-to-date maps of your network. So I am actually going to show you a layer 3 map of this network, which I'm looking at here. So you can see that I have a predefined layer 3 network here. And so how this actually was constructed is completely automatically by NetXMS. I didn't put any of these links or these devices here on the map. It's completely automatic. Again, because NetXMS learned all of my network. And you can see different colors and statuses here, and etc. And I can zoom in and take a look, and we can see, for example, that it even recognizes equal cost multipath. So this is OSPF equal cost multipath between two devices, and you can see it properly learns and can build all of this for you with just one click. And this is a layer 3 map, right? You can also do layer 2 maps, so I can show you a layer 2 map and hide the labels here. And you can, this is actually the core of our network. You can see we have massive redundancy in the core, right? Everything is cross-connected and stuff like that. But yeah, you can see that the layer 2 network looks completely different because of VLANs, of course. So that's why it's really important to be able to visualize the network on layer 2 and layer 3 separately, because they might look completely differently.
So here from the map, can you just double-click a device and go into it, or...?
Oh, yeah, you can just do like click, tools, and Winbox, for example, right? Or SSH or whatever.
So we've talked a whole ton about monitoring stuff, you know, kind of the collection and all that stuff, but we haven't talked about alerting systems and how you would actually, something anomalous happened or something you want to know about happened. How does NetXMS actually alert you on those sort of things?
There is, of course, for alerting, you can do many different things, right? You might have some custom conditions scripted in under a system or stuff like that. So what happens within NetXMS is contrary to the other systems. First of all, it automatically does a root event correlation. So again, because of its knowledge of your infrastructure, because of its knowledge of routing tables, ARP tables, and stuff like that, it can automatically know not to generate 300 alarms for you if the root cause of that alarm is a single port going down. So root cause analysis is already automatically working in NetXMS. So that's one of the things which makes working with it really nice. And the other thing is that how NetXMS is structured is that you can have, for example, for syslog, you can have regular expression parsing within the syslog, which generates an event. If there is, for example, a threshold on one of your monitored data points from your device, SNMP OIDs, the threshold also generates an event. Port being in a different expected state than it should also generates an event. So basically everything that happens within NetXMS generates an event, and then you have event processing policy in which you dictate how those events should be processed.
Very cool. So I'm assuming it's fairly straightforward to have it send an email on an event?
Oh, yeah, it's very, very easy. So NetXMS already has a bunch of pre-configured policies. So I'll show you other event processing policy. So you can see it's got a fair bit of rules in here, but actually 80% of those came with the system. I didn't even have to touch them. I only created the specific ones for me. So, for example, show alarm when a node is down, right? This was already here by the system, and I just said execute the following action, which is push over notify, which is a push notification system, which integrates into NetXMS.
I think I told you about that, and then you had it written the next day.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. It took me like 10 minutes to integrate pushover into NetXMS. So it's all click and point, and you know when an event occurs, what actions should be done. So if I want to add another email in here, I just go to, you know, action, server actions, add, and then I would have an email in here, right? I would create the server actions and email, and then I would just assign it to certain event processing policies.
That's crazy.
It takes a bit of getting into it, but once you know how it works, it's really fast and easy to do all kinds of crazy things.
And going back to kind of, I guess, really this speaks to your nature is automation. This system, so if you have templates built up, right, so you have a MikroTik template, and it's always trying to do auto-discovery on networks, right, looking for new hosts and things like that?
Yeah, you can have it do that. We don't do that, but you can have it do auto-discovery.
All right, so whenever you put in a device IP, it will kind of detect what it is, and then it'll add all of this stuff magically in.
So yeah, so what happens is actually that you can have NetXMS completely discover what a device is, what a node is, and what services it offers. And that, yeah, like you said, just automatically start monitoring them. And this, again, just speaks to the, like you said, automation and making things easier for yourself. Because when you deploy a new device, you have to remember to add it into NetXMS, and then you have to remember to apply MikroTik and this and that. And later on, when you, for example, configure PPPoE access concentrator on the device, you would have to remember in your monitoring to apply those monitoring templates. Well, in NetXMS, it all happens automatically because NetXMS basically scans every device on a certain schedule, or of course the first time it's added, and then automatically applies templates according to certain rules. So we can specify that if, for example, the device is a MikroTik, apply this set of templates. If it has a wireless interface, also apply this set of templates. And if it is a PPPO access concentrator, apply this set of templates. And it's completely live, automatic, and constantly keeps itself checking the device and then adds the proper templates if the device, you know, actually fits into those criteria.
So in your instance, how does it know that it's a, say, a VPN concentrator versus just a regular MikroTik router sitting there?
Very simple. So you just check the PPP OID, and if the PPP OID is over over one, so if there is at least one PPP-like client, it starts monitoring all of the PPP-related OIDs.
That's cool. Could you have it do different things based on what you name the device? Is it capable of doing
that? Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely.
So if you put, say, VPN in the name of the device itself, it would say, hey, this is a VPN server, also add these extra things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's sick. How about structure-wise? So say I've got multiple sites, and I name one site one. You know, so it'll be router1.site1 and then router2.site1. Can you actually have it react differently, you know, maybe organization-wise, based on what site it's in or things like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's also actually quite easy. So how all of this customization works is that NetXMS has an internal scripting language, which is, of course, made for custom tailoring the system as you like it. So, for example, you can easily have it. So organization-wise, NetXMS has a few top layer structures where it keeps all of your devices. So you can see here containers, for example, how I sort our network into containers. And each of these containers can basically automatically take a device into it. One device can be in many containers. It's not a one-to-one relationship. And you can write very simple conditions when a device should be placed into a container. So you could do just that. Yeah, if you know that a certain subnet is only at one site, you would just say, if a device is within the subnet, place it into this container, and you're done. And it will automatically organize your infrastructure for you within the organizational structure.
So you said it's really helped your workflow by bringing everything, all of your syslog, your SNMP traps, your long-term trending. We've seen how it can show the long-term trending. It's actually really quick. I was amazed, especially when I was doing it on a test system. It was fast, but I didn't have hardly any data. So this can show you what it looks like after, you said, a couple of years of collection.
Mm-hmm.
That's tremendous. We've seen how easy it is to add templates. You can just pull in and you can custom add. The mapping is tremendous. The individual searching. What else? What else? I'm trying to think of anything else that I haven't seen that I wish. So you said it does 95th percentile. Is that something out of the box that you can do? Or
Actually, 95th percentile, you have to configure it yourself. I know that they are planning to implement that out of the box, hopefully soon.
Okay.
But currently, you would have to do that yourself. Okay. Which is, you can still do it with a couple of scripts, but yeah.
Phenomenal.
It's not as easy as doing a few clicks.
All right. So, and I would never do this, but is this the sort of system that you would maybe give individual logins for customers so they could have an interface into this? Or it doesn't really seem like it's made for that, but.
One of the things which we haven't talked about yet is that NetXMS is actually fully multi-tenant, and it has a full, complex access control system. So first of all, multi-tenant is you can create zones, and then those zones are basically completely independent. For example, if you have two customers, would you, or three or five of your clients, which you want to monitor from a single NetXMS server, that's entirely possible. And of course, those five different clients might have conflicting IP spaces within their infrastructure because they are private IPs, right? And so you can create zones within NetXMS, and each zone is like a completely separate, independent entity within NetXMS. So maps are generated per zone, IP search, MAC search works per zone, topology and infrastructure information are kept per zone. So it's, you know, multi-tenant. And then, you could even create accounts for those customers and just restrict the access controls for those accounts into those zones, or even into just a couple of objects and a couple of DCIs, the data collection items. So you actually could do that. And even with the web interface, it would be really easy. So you could design it around that if that is what you wanted to do. It has all the things necessary for that to be possible.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm so paranoid. I keep everybody out of my juicy monitoring infrastructure. At one point, a friend of mine, Jimmy, wrote a plugin for Cacti where I could put in customers and it would export their information out to a web server so they could log in and look at their graphs that way. I'm terrified to let anybody into the middle of my infrastructure, but it seems like you stay on top of your updates really well, and you're very attuned with what these guys are doing. So your system's probably a little bit more secure in lockdown than, say, maybe mine, where sometimes I wait a little while before I make the required updates that I should.
Like I mentioned, NetXMS is quite modular, so you could easily have just the customer access layer, so just the web server, completely in a separate subnet, in a DMZ or whatever, completely separated from the actual NetXMS server. And then the customers would access the web server, which is a different server than the NetXMS server itself. So this is, again, where the modularization could come in to properly separate and secure all of that.
That's cool. So if, say, you were doing monitoring for a customer, you added all of their customer infrastructure in yourself, you could allow them to kind of log in and put stuff into maintenance mode, I guess, you know, if they're going to do work on it or things like that.
Oh, yeah, actually, it's entirely possible. So I can show you the whole access control system within NetXMS. Also, one beautiful thing is that it completely integrates into your existing SSO. So it integrates into LDAP. It has RADIUS support for logins into NetXMS. It supports certificates, all kinds of things. So we can actually, ours is integrated into our SSO through RADIUS as well. So you can see that system writes here. right? You have a huge set of system rights here, and the mine are empty because they are inherited from a group. So there is a group structure. It's very similar to, for example, Active Directory. So you have groups, and then groups can propagate certain permissions to members of the groups, or I can just assign, you know, just be able to put things into maintenance mode. There is a checkbox somewhere in here for that. So I could just allow only that to that particular account, or, you know, it's very modular, and you can easily do things, crazy things with it.
Gotcha. So what else? Is there anything burning that you need to tell us about this system?
There is a few more cool things, I guess, which I could show. So, for example, for large scale auditing, or just, you know, if you want to see one thing across many different devices, for example, what's the routerless version of all of my routers within my infrastructure, right? How can I see that? So within that XMS is just one click, so I can do a summary table, and I can do versions, and then I can do routerless, and suddenly I can see the routerless versions of all of my devices, right? And then if one of them is out of date, I could just right-click it, go to Tools, and I can have an update tool right here, which would update routerless for me. So I could just select even 20 of them and just update remotely from within the XMS with a couple of clicks.
The rest of the guys, because I vomit, just blah, 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 talk, talk, talk. I was going to say, the rest of the guys have been pretty quiet. I'm curious if you guys, in the course of all this, have seen anything that you have questions about, or saw something, man, I wish my monitoring system did that, or, you know, just any kind of questions or comments.
That's one thing that I wanted to mention is that in the alerting, you talk about adding different types of alerts. That would be useful to accommodate multiple employees, and perhaps, you know, one guy hates email alerts, so he would get some other type of alert format for that versus just blasting an email out to a chat room or to a mailing list or to something else. It looks like you could customize the alerts per person.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can do many different things. So you can even do things like if an alarm is outstanding for 5 minutes, notify this guy. If it's outstanding for 15 minutes, notify his superior, because now it's been down for 15 minutes, right? So notify someone else. And stuff like that. You can do like shift notifications. So at different schedules, notify different groups or different people. Like you said, you can do for this guy, do email. For this guy, do push notification. For this guy, send him a text message, right? All of that fairly easily just clicks away.
That's tremendous.
Of course, you have to know how to do it. I mean, obviously, you have to learn the system. But once you know it, it's quite easy to do things like this.
So, and where can we go to learn more? Is there like some YouTube channel that we might be able to go to and see more?
So, yes, there is a full YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, which has a bunch of NetXMS tutorials on it. So it's I have about 2 hours worth of NetXMS tutorials on my YouTube channel. And NetXMS has a full wiki, which is full of information, examples, scripts, whatever you want. And then NetXMS forums, of course.
That, and then I would like to note that if you go to the Brothers Wisp YouTube page, his channel is one of your favorited channels. So if you have a hard time finding him, just go to our channel and you should be able to see a link to his.
And we'll put links in the show notes on this guy.
Yeah. So Thomas, can we talk briefly again? I know we mentioned earlier, how would you go about making this a little more high availability? For example, you know, obviously have your database redundant. How do you make your collectors redundant, for example?
So this is how actually the whole NetXMS infrastructure or ecosystem looks like, right? So as I mentioned, the modularization, you can... So first of all, the web host clients, right? So the web host clients, as I mentioned, are Java application servers, so Tomcat, whatever else you have, Jetty, whatever. So we can completely cut those off and make them highly available by just having multiple of them and then doing round robin DNS or putting a load balancer in front of them, whatever. So that's just one part of NetXMS. Then you have the database, which, as I mentioned, again, high availability and clustering and all stuff, all kinds of that. Every single database has multiple ways of doing that. So that's your second component, which can be made highly available separately and can be scaled and everything separately. Then you have the data collectors. So how NetXMS works is the server itself can collect all of the data and receive traps, but you can also have remote caching and proxying collectors. So how those works is that you just have a NetXMS agent which is set in a proxy and caching mode, and it actually collects from all of your devices and then pushes it all inside of a single session to the NetXMS server itself. A huge advantage is that if the connection between the caching and proxying agent cuts out, it actually, you know, caches it. So when the connection resumes, it will just reconciliate all the data with the main NetXMS server. So that is really actually nice because you never lose data, even when the caching agents lose connection to the main NetXMS server, which is really nice because when you have an outage, you still get all of those data back as soon as you resolve the outage, which I don't actually think any of the other monitoring systems do. At least 2.5 years ago when I looked, none of them were able to do this. So it's really nice because you don't lose that precious data, precious statistics. And that's another part of the NetXMS ecosystem. And you can, of course, deploy 10, 20, however many you want of those proxying and caching agents. And then you have high availability of your collection right there. And then you have the NetXMS server, which is right here in the middle, which is the main component which connects all of it. And you can actually also make that highly available with the usual Linux tools which you have for that.
So you've got a network of 5 routers and 10 switches and, say, 20 servers. Start to finish, from install to completion, what would you say it would take to get something up like that? Maybe a couple of days?
So if you know nothing about monitoring, if you've never dealt with any monitoring system and you don't know how SNMP works, you don't know anything, it will probably take you, I would say, between a week and 2 weeks to learn all of it, understand all of the concepts, and etc. If you already know or have a monitoring system and just want to migrate to NetXMS, I would say, 3 to 4 days. I am not going to lie, NetXMS has quite a barrier of entry into the system, because it's such a massive and such a elastic system which can do many different things. You have to learn all of the concepts. You have to learn how inside of NetXMS you work with that and all the available features and how to configure all of it. But once you do, it's massively worth the investment in time to learn it and to set it up.
All right, so one last thing. Since it's Java, it can run on any platform, right? So the server infrastructure can run on Linux or Windows?
So the server itself is C++, but it can run on anything. You have pre-compiled packages and installers for Windows, for all the major Linuxes and Unixes, even for Raspberry Pi, which is really, really nice. And the client side is Java. So the client side can run absolutely on whatever. And inside of the browser, it's JavaScript. So it can also run in any browser on any device.
What kind of system requirements are there?
So NetXMS is actually extremely optimized. Each time I show people how much NetXMS actually uses, they don't believe me. So maybe it's worth actually showing. So on this system, I can do show statistics. On this system, I monitor 3.5K data points, and then I receive a bunch of syslog and traps, right? So there's so many things we didn't go into. NetXMS actually fully monitors itself. So you can see here that, for example, how many database queries this server has done, right? How many failed database queries, all of that. There is a ton of internal monitoring that NetXMS does on itself. You can see every single thread pool that NetXMS has, how it's loaded, etc. But what I really want to show you is this is a virtual machine that's dedicated just to NetXMS. So this is the CPU utilization. This is 4 cores at 2 gigahertz for the last week. You can see they are just completely idle.
Oh, wow.
So this is monitoring 3.5K data points. So really, really optimized, and the memory usage on this virtual machine, actually, if we go into RAM here, so you can see this virtual machine, it's Ubuntu server, has 700 megabytes of RAM, and the NetXMS server, actually, let's go to filter, NetXMS, and the NetXMS itself is using 117 megabytes of RAM.
How big is the database?
The database is about 200 gigabytes. This is for 2 years of historical data and syslog for 3.5k data points. So it's actually running on RAID 1 of SSDs, which cost about $200 because, you know, storage is extremely cheap.
A lot cheaper than Observium. Does a lot more.
Gotcha. All right, Mike, what are your thoughts on it? You've been pretty quiet most of the time.
It helps that I missed probably the first hour. I started setting this up a long time ago. I got a functional system, and then, you know, ADD kicked in and I was off to some other tasks. But just looking at this, really, there's been lots of improvements since I last worked on it, and I really need to get back to getting this set up the right way. I'm missing out on a lot.
Yeah. Andrew, what do you say?
Likewise, I started looking at it a while ago and was just in the middle of a whole bunch of other stuff. One of the guys from my workplace is actually running with it at the moment, so he's slowly getting it up to a point where we're going to look at replacing the dude, actually. And hopefully, yeah, we can use that to replace a few other systems as well. So it's really feature-rich. It just takes a little bit to get into it. You need a few days to kind of sit down and say, yes, I'm gonna look over all of this. But after that, it's got all the bits and pieces you can need, and anything it doesn't, you can write in, or, you know, just message Thomas and ask him.
I was gonna say, I gotta get me one of those Tims, like you do, Andrew, or I could never afford a Thomas. How about Jeremy? Right, so you're the new guy. On the Brothers Wisp Facebook page, you had kind of the most interest in this. What do you think about it? What did this do for you?
I, like Mike, have also spun this up and demoed it. Again, it was a little bit earlier. There are more things in it now than there were at the time. And for me, the obstacle was just simply the time to onboard. It's nice that, you know, you can, you know, set all your interface statuses, but you have to kind of go and do that, you know. And what I ended up doing in the interim until I actually do have time to onboard is I'm using a not cheap hosted service called Avic. I don't know if any of you have tried it. It's the iPhone to this, if this is Android. It's AUVIK.com. It does, you know, a huge amount of this type of thing automatically, not perfectly. And it costs like $15 a device. So it's not cheap at all. Mm. But it's gotten me through a pinch. And I am looking, of course, to reduce the cost of that somewhat, as well as get, you know, kind of the nuts and bolts power that we can with NetXMS. So I'm encouraged that when I do have the time to onboard, I probably will go ahead and use it.
Gotcha. So I have a question. One last thing for me. I'm honestly, I've got a new guy and he's learning Linux. So I'm thinking I'm going to force him to try and do some of this. But Thomas, say for example, say we were using a paid service like Jeremy is, do they offer consulting services where I can pay them to install the server and kind of get me sort of up and running? Because, you know, I mean, if you're paying $15 a device and say it's costing you $300 a month and I could pay them $1,000 and then my ROI is just a few months away, is that a service that they have available?
Oh, yeah. So how it works, that the company which writes NetXMS, it's called Radden Solutions. And, they provide full support if you want it. They provide implementation, consultation services, and everything else. So you can just pay them a bunch of money, and they will do it for you. And
Okay. So even if the entry, the barrier seems kind of high, you can get them to jumpstart you, get you off the ground. For me, a lot of times, if I've got an example, I can see it in my system and working. I can rinse and repeat. Right. It's easy to copy and paste sort of what somebody else has done. So. That might actually be an interesting option for a lot of people that are, you know, strapped for time. You know, if this kind of automation and this seamless integration into your system will really provide value. And I challenge anybody listening to say it wouldn't provide value. Sometimes maybe just spending a few bucks up front would make the difference.
Well, they provide training services as well, and anything you really need. As I mentioned, they have support contracts. And actually, it's one of the really nice things in NetXMS. It's had stable releases about every 3 months for 5 years now. So it's been completely maintained, improved, and everything for a long period of time. So you know you're going with a system that has history, that's not going anywhere anytime soon, that it's maintained. You can get support and training services for it and everything.
And this is maintained by Latvians, right?
Yes, actually, their offices are just 1 kilometer. So that's like 0.6 of a mile from Mikrotik's offices.
So Latvians are capable of offering support contracts?
These Latvians are.
Yeah.
Boom.
Oh, hell. All right, guys. This is a pretty good one. Unlike the other ones, it's very targeted. A lot of really good information. I don't have to cut out any swear words or miscommunications. So it's really good. I guess, again... Mike runs the Facebook page, so if you want to see more of these or have varying interest on specific things, obviously we have more of these planned. Be sure to pop into the Facebook page and bug Mike about it. I guess any other questions or concerns, please pop them on the Facebook, because that seems to be where we get most of our activity. And come back and see us again soon. Thanks, guys.